Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Shall we go to the Word this morning? I'm ready. Praise God. Let's open to John 13 this morning, and we're talking about filled with the fullness of God. Now, anytime you hit the subject of love, you got to keep your natural mind in a certain place. You got to keep focused, otherwise you can get yourself into trouble. But this subject of love is a subject that has huge effect on your life. I'll just say this. There's probably not a more important subject that you can get strong in, I guess I should say. John chapter 13. This is our golden text. Let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and get into this. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. Father, you're so faithful to us. You watch over your word to perform it. Your word was given to us to transform the way we think. Your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Lord, as we go to your word, we don't go half-heartedly. We don't go to your word with an attitude of just, oh, it's another story, or, oh, it's another scripture. But we expect that this word is changing us. We expect that this word is transforming and renewing our minds and thinking. And as we hear truths and as the Holy Spirit enlightens us, we purpose to be not just hearers, but be doers of your word in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it. Amen. Okay, so John 13, 34 says this. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you what? Love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, there are two things in this verse that I see. One is, we are commanded to love the way that God loves. Now, that is a strong commandment. You know what I mean? That is a bold statement by the Lord. Does he know who he's talking to? Does he realize who his audience is? Think about it. These are humans. Right? These are people. These are faulty people. And Jesus looks at them and he looks at his disciples. You know, he's talking to the boys. He's talking to Peter. What did Peter do after this commandment was given? He cut a guy's ear off. I mean, he didn't do it like directly after. He's like, "Love him like this, Lord." Whack. You know, no. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did Peter do? Jesus said, "Guys, you need to love each other the way that I love you." And Jesus never cut anybody's ear off. Now, he put ears back on. Because, you know, he reached down and picked up that ear and put it back on that guy's head. How many would have liked to have seen that? Ear off, ear on. No stitches. Just put her back on. But what Jesus is saying here is he's basically saying, once I die and raise again, you're going to be able to love one another the way that I have loved you. This truth, the more I study this, and there are things that I've seen in it before, but the more you learn, the longer you walk with the Lord, you see things in scriptures that you've read 100 times that you never saw before. The understanding and what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, look, guys, you're going to be able to love the way that I love. You're going to be able to love the way that God loves. That is a huge statement. our natural mind, and most Christians would never even dream of saying, you know, I have the ability to love the way God loves. I have the ability to love on the level that God loves. But Jesus said that you are to love one another as he has loved you. That is a empowering, bold, huge statement. That means you have the potential to love every person that despises you. I know what the natural mind does when you say that. Nuh-uh. Are you crazy? Only as crazy as Jesus. Do you see that? You can feel it. When you make these statements, you can feel people kind of go, I wonder if he's right. Well, let's think about it like this. Whose words are we looking at? Now, if you can't trust those words, how can you trust John 3:16? You say, Sean, do you have to take it that far? Usually. Usually I do. But this, and now look at the second part of this. Verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples. This is the love of God that we share specifically in the church with other believers is the one tool, the one evangelistic tool that will let everybody know that we are Christians. Isn't that just powerful? No wonder the devil wants the church to fight with each other so bad. Because he knows that if we as disciples of the Lord walk in love with one another, that the whole world will understand that we're Christians. Have you ever noticed how quickly natural love can turn to hate? You ever notice that? Natural affection can turn to hate. Just have somebody do something that is contrary to what you like. And in 1 minute, and you say, how do you know about this? Because I have kids. Because I'm on the planet myself, amen? Have you ever noticed your kids, like if you got multiple kids, they can be playing together so well, and then one of them will do something the other one doesn't like. And it's, I love you. This is so much fun. I'm going to kill you. You know, turns into something else. Why is that? Natural love, not God love. We are to love one another and forgive one another the way that Christ has loved and forgiven us. What if Jesus turned on you like we do on others? These are good thoughts, aren't they? I am just loving this. I know this is not jump up and down and shout messages. But if we get this message, the rest of the messages will come so much easier. When we walk in love, when we choose to follow the love command and walk out of the love that is in us, we set ourselves apart as those that are Christ's. And we set ourselves apart and we live at a level of spirituality and maturity that the rest of the world does not live at. And much of Christianity doesn't live at. So let's look at another one. James chapter 2 verse 8. He says this, if you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What is the love command? It is the royal law. So previously in the messages that we've looked at, we talked about how under the new covenant, we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. How many think the Ten Commandments are good, but did you know that under the new covenant, the love commandment causes you to fulfill all Ten Commandments? So all you have to do is walk in love. The second thing that we looked at last week is we talked about how you have this love in you already. How many are born again? You have Jesus in your heart right now, okay? The rest of you, I'll give an altar call later. So anyway, what that means is that you receive the Spirit of Christ into your spirit. You became a new creation. And part of that, and we looked at this last week, so I can't go over it again, but you can go listen to the message from last week if you want. But part of what that means is that you receive the same love that God is inside you. So the love of God is shed abroad. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart right now by the Holy Spirit. You have all the love that you need to love every person around you, including the ones that annoy you, inside of you right now. Come on, in your mind, picture the one person that just, it's like that person, if I... You have God's affection for that person living inside of you right now. People go, I don't know if I believe it. Sometimes you got to grab onto it by faith. You know what I mean? You got to grab onto it by faith and go, Lord, you say that you love them unconditionally. I do too. And your head will go, no, you don't. You go, shut up, head. I do. I love them. I love them. I bless them in Jesus' name. I forgive them. I let it go. I'm not going to think about what they've done to me that was wrong. I let it go, and I love them the way Jesus loves me, and he loves me unconditionally. Come on, think about it. How much did Jesus love you? He died for you. The love that is in you will die for the person that you think irritates you to the nth degree. People say, do you have to preach this? Oh, we're growing now. If you want to experience levels of peace and joy and health in your body that you never have before, practice these verses. You know, we had our Christmas Eve service this year, and I did it a little bit different, but I looked up some statistics about what happens to people during the holidays, you know, different situations, what they go through, and the stress levels, you know, of things and how they work. And then I got into some statistics on, you know, what causes sickness and things and irritations in people's bodies. And the number one thing was worry and stress. It causes your physical being. I mean, they've medically proven this. Now, the Bible's known it all along. But they've medically proven that it happens. If you want those things to stop, walk in love. When you walk at a high level of love, you don't have to defend yourself. Because you know who your defense is. When you walk in a high level of love, you will relax when people accuse you of things that you didn't do. Why? Because God's on your side. And you don't just look at them. So, you know, when you really understand and you see people the way God does, you'll realize that a lot of times they can't help the way they're acting. Especially if they're not saved. Think about it. They have no God in them. They have no Holy Spirit in them. They can't help but act like a ding-dong. That's not a Greek word. Ding-dong. They can't help it. So what should we do in that situation? Show them mercy, right? So to further move along here, because I can tell this is blessing some of you greatly. Let's go to Ephesians 3. What's another way that can help you understand this love? One of the ways is pray for understanding. This morning we'll talk about praying for understanding. God, through the Apostle Paul, actually put a couple of prayers in the scripture that specifically ask God to reveal to you by the Holy Spirit this love that lives in you. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Paul said this. He was praying this for the church at Ephesus. He says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So you can pray for strengthening inside. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in what? Love. verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height, verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you see where I got the title for my message? Filled with the fullness of God? Right there. What is the Apostle Paul saying by the Spirit of God? He's saying, guys, the Holy Spirit, God Himself desires that you understand the love that is in you to such a degree that I'm going to go ahead and write down a prayer that you can pray over and over and over again over yourself concerning understanding about what you already have in the love of God in you, so that as you get a revelation of it, you can walk in the height, you can walk in the depth, you can walk in the width and the length of the love of God. God so desires that you understand His love and that you walk in it that He gave you a prayer to pray in this passage that you can pray over and over again over yourself that will help you gain understanding and experience of the love of God. Now listen, this is a two-part prayer. This is a good deal. What happens when you pray this prayer? Let's say you have somebody in mind that potentially is a conflict for you in relationship, either in your family or work or something like that. Whatever the boundaries are. Maybe it's me. I don't know. It could be me right now. So anyway, but you're praying these prayers, and let's say you're praying and you're saying, God, I want to understand this love so I can show it to this person. I can reveal to them. Two parts to what happens when you pray this stuff. One, in order for you to extend this kind of love to another person, you get to experience it first. How many would like to experience the love that God is? And people think, well, I've experienced the love. If all of God's love dumped on you all at once, come on, think about it. His love was so great that Jesus died for you. I don't think we've tapped all of it yet. Not only, okay, the second part, you experience that love, okay? Now this is, come on now, be in Jesus' name, be with me. This is outside the realm of how you feel and what you think. This is a spiritual truth, okay? So do yourself a favor and don't search in your mind for the love of God, because it ain't there. Don't search in your natural flesh for the love of God. It's not there. It's shed abroad in your heart. You have to find it in here. You have to find it. So not only do you experience that love, part one, part two, you then become the conduit of that love to someone else. Come on, have you ever done something for somebody and they didn't deserve it? Oh, man. And have you ever done something for somebody and they weren't expecting it and you just felt, I mean, it's just the Lord in you, and you do, and it just blesses them, and they're, you know, crying or laughing or whatever they're doing, and they have this look of like, whoa, you did this for me? And they're thankful and they're thanking you. And what happens? There's this explosion of godness in the room. Right? Not only have you experienced the love of God, now they've experienced the love of God through you, and now they're having something wash over them that they've never experienced before. A peace, a joy. You can do this for Christians. You can do this for non-Christians. Let's look at another one. Philippians 1, verse 9. Paul says this, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So what is he praying here? He's praying that you may abound still more and more in knowledge and discernment of what? The love of God. In other words, that you'd gain an understanding of what's on the inside of you. And as you do, you will grow spiritually. You experience the love of God for yourself. And when you experience the love of God, it's like, you know, you went to the restaurant and had the best steak ever. You go tell everybody about it. You got to go to that place. Why? They have good steaks. I just had one. Melt in your mouth steaks. Are you hungry yet? You'll be out in 10 minutes. Just hang on to your seat. They have the best whatever there. So when you experience God, if you do it right, it'll come out. And you'll become an advertiser. You'll become a billboard for Jesus. You'll go tell everybody about your experience with God. Amen? And that's what Paul is saying here. In the Passion Translation, the Mirror Bible, it says this. It is my desire for each one of you that the realization of love's completeness in you will increasingly burst through all boundaries and that every sphere of your relationship with others will be greatly impacted by your intimate acquaintance with love. That's pretty good. I urge you to examine this agape, which is Greek for love. And it says this, love with the utmost scrutiny, just like when a diamond is viewed in the full sunlight to prove it flawless, its flawless perfection. I dare you to take love to its ultimate conclusion. There is no offense in love as evidenced in Jesus Christ, who is the light of day. So in other words, this love, the Bible actually says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says this love never fails. Wow, never fails? I never fail because I walk in love. If you walk in love in every situation, you will never fail. That is quite a powerful statement. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says this, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:9. You can be taught by God to love one another. That is quite a statement. How many would like to know, have God teach you how to love someone? Now, I'll just warn you in advance, your flesh and your mind is going to go, no, I don't want to love them. I want to hurt them. Right? That's what your flesh and your mind wants to do. But as you as a believer, if you get into that, it will affect you, not them. Now, it could affect them if you take it too far. But what I've noticed through the years is that most Christians won't lash out at the other person, they'll just kind of hold on to something inside against them. You do not want any of that. Well, you don't know how bad they hurt me. I'll just tell you this. They're continuing to hurt you if you hold a grudge and an unforgiveness against them. And they don't even know it. They don't even know it. It'll continue to eat away at you. It won't eat away at them. They don't even know. They may not even be aware that they hurt you. Does that make sense? But if you're going to walk in love, if you're going to walk in forgiveness, if you're going to walk in a high level of love, you got to let the least bit of offense, the least bit of I don't really even like them. You got to get rid of that. I'm not telling you, you have to become their best friend and hang out with them every day of the week. What I'm saying is when you see them, you should just go, I love them in the love of the Lord. It should be in you, just peace. They shouldn't have any control over you at all. Why? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Come on, think about it. Even including fear. Perfected love casts out all fear. So if you fear somebody, it's because you don't love them. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Because that was fun. I just said it and it was like, you know, it just hit the ground. It just. If you fear somebody, it's because you don't love them. You don't understand God's love for you, and you're not allowing that love to extend to them. When you love somebody, you don't fear them. Why? Because fear naturally protects itself. It looks out for number one. You know what I mean? Love will look out for the interests of other people. Love will first. Thank God did it that way. Amen? So, how to love. So we just looked at another way that you can understand love is by praying those prayers. So take time and pray those prayers. Allow God, according to 1 Thessalonians 4:9, to teach you how to love. So how to love? How do we put this on? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this: If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. That's a huge key right there. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Verse number 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness. Come on, what's that next word? Long-suffering. Long-suffering? I've put up with this just about as long as I can. Bless God, I'm going to get on Facebook and tell everybody about it. No, that's not what God does. He's long. Come on, think about how long-suffering God is with us. Oh, my goodness. You know, I heard Brother Hagin say one time, you know, you think you got it rough, but look how God's got to put up with the whole planet. And he's not losing his cool. You say, how do you know? Because we're all still here. Right? He's doing everything he can to help us. Verse 13, bearing, you want to know what bearing means? People are like, no, I don't want to know what it means, Sean. I've had enough. Bearing means to endure or suffer or to put up with. Well, I put up with it just about as much as I can. Well, then you need to get in the love of God and put up with a little more. Not even one amen on that. With one another. But forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as what? Christ forgave you, so you must do. So you also must do. Wow. I mean, seriously. Lord, there's no slack at all, is there? God's like, no, I jerked all the slack out of it. There's none. Now, God, thank God for his forgiveness to us, amen? But we need to extend that to others. While they, you know what that person did to me? Listen, everybody in this room has been hurt by somebody. Well, you just don't know how bad it was. Well, you just don't know everybody's story. You have no idea how bad somebody else was hurt. And I'll tell you this, nobody was done more unjustly than Jesus. Because he deserved none of what he took. And yet he took it all, and we deserved it all, and he took it all for us, and then gave us what he deserved. Amen? So we have that same love inside of us. We can be persecuted for who we are and still love the person persecuting us. Can you imagine the early church praying for Saul before he was converted to Paul? Here he is running around with rocks in his pocket, looking for Christians, throwing them in prison, and then delivering them over, testifying against them, and delivering them over to be slaughtered. And what is the church doing? Man, we got to get to the government. We got to make some law that says they can't persecute us anymore. That is not what the early church did. The early church did what? They prayed for those who persecuted them. I think sometimes we have such little spiritual effect because we don't do what the Bible says. Instead of praying for the one who hates us, we complain to the other Christian that sits on the other side of the church about the person in the church that doesn't like us. And then we go to God and we ask the preacher, can you pray for me? This person hurt me. And the preacher, if he has any spiritual oomph in him, will look at you and go, forgive them and get over it. Move on with the love of God. Why? Because it's not hurting the other person, it's hurting you, and it affects the church. Amen. When we walk in love like we should, we let bygones be bygones. And the enemy will come up and go, remember what they did to you? And you go, that's a picture of what happened, but I believe and I've forgiven them and I love them in the name of Jesus. Come on, think about it. A group of people stoned Paul to death. And the apostles raised him from the dead, and he went back into the town where they stoned him. What would compel you to do that? Only something divine. Because what does your, when somebody throws a rock at you, what's your natural response? Find a bigger rock. Boy, we hit the nail on the head on that one, didn't we? It's a good thing we laughed. It was getting close there for a little bit. Look for a bigger rock. They did this to me. And God says, pray for them. You know, I'm going to stop there. That's enough for 1 week. I didn't even preach that long. I mean... But that's okay. We're at where we're at. Amen? Your spiritual stomach's only so big on some subjects. Amen? That's okay. Somebody say it with me. I'm growing in love. I'm telling you, this will make us strong as a church. You walk into situations where people hate you and you love them, it'll have an impact. This is something that's beyond natural thinking and feeling. This is what I was going to say, because the Holy Spirit just brought this up on the inside of me. This can happen with a people group. This can happen in a relative or family situation. This can happen in a marriage. This can happen in a work setting. This can happen with political parties. Now, I'm going to make some statements here, but I want you to hear me all the way out, okay? If when you hear a certain person's name, something of anger or frustration or unforgiveness, that kind of feeling rises up within you, make that a matter of praying for that person. Okay? Make that a matter of praying for that person. Now, listen to me. I'm not just telling you this out of my head. This is a word of knowledge from the Lord. I'm trying to save your skin. Okay? The Lord is. The Lord's trying to save your skin. If there's a people group that just, if you hear about them, you boil inside, then you need to pray for that group of people. Because I'll just tell you this, if you're into politics and things like that, and I vote, you know, I look at politics, but if a group or a certain, you know, agenda or whatever just flat gets you into a state of out of control, in other words, you move into a place of fleshiness, you need to pray for that group. Why? Because God never loses control. Listen to me very carefully. God never stops loving his enemies. And people say, well, they need to pay for what they did. You need to leave that up to God and get your hand off of it. Because we don't sit in that place of judge. I have no right. Come on. There's no openings in the Trinity. They're not handing out applications. We're looking for a fourth. We're looking for a fourth. The Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost can't handle it. We're looking for a fourth. That's not happening. When God looks at every person on the planet, he sees a soul that is worth redeeming. And if we are not seeing that as well, then we are wrong and we need to understand the love of God. That does not mean that you just accept everything that they do. That does not mean we accept abortion. That does not mean we accept homosexuality. That does not mean we accept all these things for the sake of worldly peace. We want godly peace. But when we do look at them, we had better see them as Jesus died for that person. Jesus died for that person. Jesus was spit in the face, had his beard ripped out, had a crown of thorns put on his head, was whipped on his back, was beat, come on, hung on a cross, had nails the size of railroad spikes drove through his arms and his feet, so that that person that doesn't believe the way you do politically, that doesn't see things the way you do, like you do in your family setting or in your work setting, God paid the price for them. That person that is a homosexual that you work with or whatever situation they're in, God, Jesus died for them. And I'm not saying you have to tell them that their sin is right, but in the midst of that, if you can speak the truth through the love of God that is in you, it will have an effect on them. Amen? Do you see that? Guys, we're not going to win the world by fighting them. It won't happen. It won't happen. I'm not saying we shouldn't speak truth, but we had better come at it from love. Amen? And we are not to hate anyone. We are not to hate them. We are to walk in love. Stand with me, please. I hope you see that. That impressed in me strong. Let's practice praying for those that have hurt us. Let's just do it right now. We'll end. Just get that group, get that whatever in your mind that is bothersome to you, that has affected you, family member, whoever it is. Let's just get them in our mind right now. And then I'm gonna pray and you agree with me and we'll just release them, okay, in the name of Jesus. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Lord, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all truth. Lord, we lift up to you that situation, that person, that group, whatever it is that causes, that we've allowed to cause an offense or an anger or a hurt in us, and maybe they really hurt us. But Lord, we give you that hurt, and we say, and we receive your healing right now. Just right where you're at, you just receive it right where you're at. We receive, and Lord, we forgive them and release them right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we will purposely, even though the enemy is going to try and bring that back to us and try and stir us up on it, we won't yield to it. And even if we do yield to it a little bit, we'll repent real quick. And Lord, we'll not yield to that. We'll just say, no, Satan, that's a picture of something that happened. I released it already and I'm free. I love them in the name of Jesus. I forgive them in the name of Jesus. I release the same forgiveness that you released to me, Father, in Jesus, and I release it to them in the name of Jesus. I will not accept bitterness or unforgiveness, rage or malice or anger or frustration of any kind. I let it go, and I no longer fear that situation because I choose love in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Your life will be different. Amen? All right, we'll see you Wednesday night.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.